Good morning. Such a pleasure to be with you this morning. And as you can see, I'm not David. I'd give anything to have David's hair. Don't you love David's hair? If I had as much hair as he did, I would never cut it. And I think that's his philosophy too. But I'm Daryl Huckabee. I'm a member of this church and a lay minister in the United Methodist Church. And, you know, I'm just happy to have the hair I got. 3 years ago, I was bald. And I got cancer and started getting treatments. It made my hair grow back. So there you go. I'm serious. I don't recommend that as a hair restoration process, but it worked for me. But I'm just so happy to be with you all today. And we're going to continue to preach the lectionary series that David has been preaching from. You know, the Methodist Church puts out a book every year called the lectionary. And it's a tool that the preachers can use. It tells them what they can preach every week. Because some preachers get bogged down in one part of the Bible and another part of the Bible. And by following the lectionary, the people at the church believe that, you know, you'll cover all the things within a three-year cycle that you need to change and start over. And you're not required to preach from the lectionary, but it's there as a guide for you. And Dave started doing that at the first of the year, and so I told him that I would continue. And this week, we're going to preach about the Transfiguration. Actually, I'm going to preach about the Transfiguration. I hope you're going to listen. But if you Spirit moves you and you want to get up and take my place, that'll be fine too. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God, Eternal Father, Author of Life, thank you. Thank you for the many gifts you've bestowed upon us. Thank you, the people who are gathered here. Thank you for this worship team. They work so hard every week to put together a meaningful worship service so that people can lift their hands and lift their voices and, most importantly, lift their hearts to you, O God. You are worthy to be worshiped. You are worthy to be praised. You have given us all that we have. You make us all that we are. And now, over the next few minutes, dear God, please empty us of ourselves in the still, quiet place. Let us listen for your voice, dear God. And please don't allow me, your servant, to get in the way of the message that you would have these people hear. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, who died to save us from our sins. Amen. As I said, we're going to talk about the Transfiguration, and that's a fancy word. That's a big word. It's hard to know what it means. So I looked it up. My daddy taught me a long time ago they make dictionaries for a reason. And I looked up transfigure to make sure that I was getting it right. And according to Webster, okay, I don't know who Webster was, but he must have been a smart cookie because everybody quotes him when they want to know anything. But according to Webster, the Webster Dictionary, transfigure means to change into something more beautiful or elevated. That was the first definition in the dictionary. And the second definition was to transform outwardly for the better. Transfigure. To make something more beautiful. To elevate, to change for the better. I think that's a subject and a topic that's worthy of talking about for a few minutes on a cold Sunday morning. And I hope that you do. Jesus Christ was transfigured. His appearance was outwardly changed in front of three of his disciples. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking like I am, why would Jesus need to be changed? Wasn't he pretty good to begin with? And yes, he was pretty good to begin with. But he was a man living on earth, even though he was God. The Gospel of John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus on earth was just like us in human form. But when he transcended into his heavenly realm, he was even more amazing. I'm going to read the gospel today from the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, starting with verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured, elevated, made more beautiful before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as pure light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. It was over just that quick. Now, let's back up. You start reading a passage that said 6 days later. That's like watching one of those TV shows where they have the beginning, and the beginning is really the end of the show. You know what I'm talking about? And then they'll say a little blurb, this is what happened 4 hours later, and then they'll go back and show you what led up to this point. Let's go back and talk what led up to this point. Jesus, at this point, had been living with his disciples for nearly 3 years. They were nomads. They were wandering around. They camped out. They stayed in friends' houses. He performed miracles. He was constantly talking to them. They had been with Jesus 3 years. The point is, they kind of knew Jesus. They kind of knew Jesus by now, and yet they still didn't understand all there was to know about Jesus. He had slowly been explaining to them and demonstrating to him who he was, but they couldn't conceive that there was anything beyond Jesus the man. He was trying to get them to understand that he was the Messiah, he was the Savior that the Jews had been promised. But even the disciples were still expecting a political savior, maybe even a military savior to save them from the brutal Romans. And Jesus wasn't that kind of Messiah. And he was getting ready to demonstrate to them that he wasn't. And he was also getting ready to demonstrate to the world that he was the Son of God, and he was going to have to go to Jerusalem to face punishment and death at the hands of the Romans. And 6 days before the Transfiguration, he had been talking about all of these things to the disciples. They were all alone, and he asked them, "Who do folks say that I am? What are folks saying about me? What are they posting on Facebook? You know, how are my approval ratings? What's going on out there? What are people saying about me?" And the disciples started answering, "Well, some say that you're Elijah, and some say that you're a great prophet, and some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say this, and some say that." People recognize that Jesus was special. I mean, you don't walk across water or change water into wine or feed a multitude of 5,000 people with a few little loaves of bread and some fish if you're not something special. People knew that Jesus was special, but they didn't really know exactly. And so then Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Okay, that's what other people think. That's what other people say. Who am I to you? Now, in our world, people are talking about Jesus, and we know what people say about Jesus, and we know what people think about Jesus, but only you know who Jesus is to you. And Simon Peter spoke up. Good old Simon Peter. He was always the first to speak up. He said, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." Simon Peter got it. Simon Peter recognized Jesus for who he was. And Jesus rewarded this. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," Simon, son of John, "because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Holy Spirit." And then he said, "You are Peter," which means the rock, Petra. "And upon this rock I will build my church. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's got to be a big moment for Peter. Now, some people have what I believe is a misunderstanding that Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. I don't believe that's what Jesus was saying. I believe that the kernel of truth, the knowledge that Christ was the Son of God, is the rock upon which the church is built. The fact that Christ is the Son of God. Our church is not built on a human being. It's built on Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. So that's, but Jesus was confirming Peter for recognizing that. And then he began to talk about going to Jerusalem. And he said, "Bad things are going to happen there. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to put me to death." And once again, it was Simon Peter who jumped up. "Oh, no, they ain't. Not while I got breath in my body. Ain't nobody going to do that to you while I'm around. I got your back." Now, we would think that's a good thing to say, and that's a good way to be. But Jesus said something unusual. He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Boy, it's a short trip from the penthouse to the outhouse, isn't it? I mean, it ain't far. One moment in the same conversation, Jesus is saying that I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And in the same conversation, he's comparing Peter to Satan, because all of these things had to happen in order for you and me to be saved for our sins. And so Christ says to Peter, "Get behind me. I don't want to hear that. Don't prevent from happening what has to happen. This is necessary. It's required." So that's what happened 6 days before what's happening today. Are we all together? Is everybody with me? Are you hearing me? Well, So we're going to pick up the story. Jesus took three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to the top of this mountain. It was the highest mountain around, and now that mountain is called the Mount of the Transfiguration. I had the honor and the privilege of going there last year in March, and I'm going to go there again next week. And it's really, really, really quite amazing. And when they got to the top of the mountain, there was Moses and Elijah there. And Jesus became something different. He became elevated. He became more beautiful. His clothes were as pure white as they could be. His face was as radiant as the sun. Think about that. Think about that. He was pure white light. Jesus is the light of the world. He was in his divine stage. One day, we're going to live with Jesus. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, we're going to spend eternity in the presence of the divine Christ. We're going to spend eternity in the presence of that Jesus. Think about that. Well, what's eternity? Heard an old preacher say one time, well, if you imagine a bird picking up a grain of sand on the Atlantic Ocean side of America and flying all the way around the world and dropping that grain of sand on the Pacific side and flying back around the world and getting another grain of sand and doing the same thing over and over and over, when every grain of sand on the Atlantic side had been moved to the Pacific side, it would be just good daybreak in eternity. It's a long time. We have the opportunity to live with the divine Jesus for eternity. The disciples got to see a glimpse of him. Just a glimpse of him. This was a special, significant event in the history of Christ's life and the history of in the world, because he was united with Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law and the old order of things and the old covenant that God had with his people. Elijah representing the prophets who foretold of the coming of Christ the Messiah. And the symbolism was the day that had been promised for all those thousands of years was almost at hand. That's why those three were gathered on the top of the mountain that day. And James and John and Peter got to see it. Now, there's a secret in life that helps you get through life better. Anybody a country music fan? I love Kenny Rogers. Anybody know his most famous song? You can say it. It's okay. The Gambler. And in that song, he says, you got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them. Peter never did know that. Peter never learned that lesson. Sometimes you just need to keep quiet and take in the moment. And sometimes there's a time for action. Peter only had one speed. He was always wanting to do something. He was always in action. And so here is this moment. They were taking a moment. There was the divine Christ, not the earthly Christ, the divine Christ, talking on top of the mountain with Moses and Elijah. You kind of let that be. You kind of observe, you kind of soak it in, but not Peter. Ooh, this is good. This is good. It's good that this is happening. Let me build everybody a shelter. Now, we think that the reason Peter wanted to build a shelter was so that they could stay there longer. Let's draw this out. Let's let this last for a long time. So some of the translations say, let me build you a shelter. Some say, let me build you a tent, which would specify a temporary shelter. And some would say, let me build a tabernacle, which would be a temporary place for worship. So we're not sure which exactly Peter meant, but he was getting all into it. He wanted them to stay there, and he made a mistake because he said, I'll build one for Christ and one for Elijah and one for Moses, and he was putting the two of them on the same level with Christ. And God silenced Simon Peter. You know, it's kind of funny. People don't think there's humor in the Bible. I think there is. Because if you look closely at the scripture, it says, while Peter was still talking, God said. In other words, Peter, I got this. Just cool it, okay? Just dial it back a notch. And sometimes, you know, we have to discern. There's a time for action and a time for receiving. And we have to listen to God so that we'll know the difference. Does anybody ever get so busy doing stuff for God that you forget to be with God? Does that ever happen to you? It has to me. But God said, now's not the time, Peter, for constructing tabernacles. This is a time to be still and listen. He interrupted Peter and he said, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We're getting ready to reveal to the world that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and God is saying, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. Sometimes we get so busy in our own lives that we forget to listen to Christ. Now, here's the point of today's message. Would you like to be transfigured? Would you like to be elevated? Would you like to be more beautiful in that you are more like Jesus Christ? You know, John Wesley says that our whole goal as Christians is to strive to be more like God. Now, I want you to ask yourself that question in your heart. Are you satisfied with your life exactly as it is and don't want to change anything? If so, you got it made. You don't have to do anything. Or would you like to be more like Christ? Would you like to have your life elevated to become more beautiful? You can, you know. And if you'll just, the Bible tells us how. God Almighty came down to heaven and spoke the words. Listen to him. Listen, just listen to him. Just listen to him. Your parents out there just wish you could shake your child when you see them doing something that you know is going to cause them problems later on. And say, just listen to me. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, has said, this is my son, listen to him. Anybody tired and weary, life beating you down? Are you facing struggles that you don't even want people to know about? Are you just maybe that you have some habit that you've caught onto and you just can't quit doing it? Or maybe you have other struggles. You don't see how you're going to make ends meet. Well, Jesus said, this is the red words from the Bible, it's what Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Do you need rest for your soul? Are you weary? Well, give your troubles to Jesus. Pray. Talk to Jesus. Turn your problems over to Jesus and listen to the answer. Listen to him. That's what he said. These are not Daryl Huckabee's words. These are red words in the Bible. Jesus said, Come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. Do you need to be transfigured? Do you need to be elevated? Do you need to be made more beautiful? Do you need to find peace in your soul? Listen to God's Son. Who are the worriers in here? I don't need a show of hands, but are the people that just worry about everything in the world? Oh, this is not going to work out. This is not going to work. I know it's just not going to work out. I just know, I know, I know, I know, I know. And you spend all your time worrying. Jesus addressed that in the red words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is the body not more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life? No, you can't. Gain peace in your soul, elevate yourself, become more beautiful. Listen to Jesus. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What's in your heart? Does anybody have a hateful heart? Do you have a countenance where you're at ills with somebody else? Are you crossways with somebody? Are you carrying a grudge? Do you need to be elevated beyond that? Jesus said, you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward is that? Even the tax collectors do that. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than anybody else? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Listen to him. It's not Daryl Huckabee telling you to listen to him. It's God Almighty telling you. Are you concerned about your mortal soul? If you died tonight, do you know that you'd go to heaven? If you have any doubts at all about what will happen to you once this life is over, listen to him. He said to Nicodemus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's not up there condemning you for your sin. He's wanting to accept the loving forgiveness of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. If you want to live a better life, if you want to find that peace in your soul that passes all understanding, listen to Jesus. This book is full of good news. This is not a book of condemnation. It's a book of salvation. It's a book that will unlock the key to peace in your soul. Listen to it. Shall we pray? Oh, Almighty God, I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. Thank you for the love of Jesus, dear God. Thank you that we know that there's something better ahead of us than we are experiencing on earth. Thank you for the hope and the promise that we will be able to encounter the transfigured Christ, the divine Christ, whose garments are pure snow and whose face is brighter than the sun. And dear God, on earth, help us to know that through the teachings of Jesus Christ, that if we so order our lives after these teachings, he will forgive us for our many, many sins, and he will bring peace to our souls. That is our prayer today. In the name of Christ, the risen Lord, who died for our transgressions. In his name we offer our prayer. And all of God's people said, Amen.